Good morning. It's time to begin our worship. Silence your cell phones and prepare for worship while enjoying the prelude provided by Donna McIntyre. Good morning again. Wow, what a beautiful day. I wish it would stay like this all year long. This is nearly perfect, but a touch of fall in the air, time to wrap up our summer and kick off the fall season. Please make sure you register your attendance on the pink attendance sheets. Pass the sheets to others in your row, and be sure to return the sheets to the center aisle, and note who's sitting next to you. Make sure to look through the calendar of events in your bulletin. Some things to note this week are, well, it's kickoff Sunday, so we'll please stay for a potluck luncheon hosted by the Spiritual Growth Commission today. They'll have hot dogs and brats downstairs. See you in Fellowship Hall after the service. The nominating committee asks everyone to fill out a nomination form for the 2019 officers, elders, and diaconate, and place it in the offering tray. The final day for that will be September 23rd. So be thinking. Nominations are open for 6 elders, 9 deacons. Be sure to review the names of the existing elders and deacons that are going off service this year. They have to go off for a year. So. Thanks to Al Singleton for donating the beautiful metal print photograph of Wyoming wildflowers to benefit the Week in Compassion. Tickets are $5 a piece or 5 for 20. Drawing will be on the Saturday of Fall Feast. New Sunday school class beginning Sunday, September 30th. Join Joanna Weaver and Lonnie McBee on a trip to the Holy Land. You can travel light and just view the DVD and participate in the conversation, or you can pack a suitcase and carry your book, Lazarus Awakening. They'll order the books on September 15th for everyone who wants to have one. There's a sign-up sheet by the office. Put a star by your name if you want to have a book ordered. There's a diaconate meeting for all current diaconate next Sunday after the 10:10 service to discuss help needed for the fall feast. Contact Tammy Heck if you're unable to attend. Want to say congratulations to the Sandwich Ministry on celebrating 5 years serving the hungry in Natrona County and Casper. Thank you to all the volunteers and community partners, including First United Methodist Church, Sovereign Grace, and the Wyoming Food Bank of the Rockies. I believe Cal Decker wanted to make an announcement.
Good morning. I guess I was not sure we'll use this interception. Good morning. First of all, I want to say that it was beautiful to hear our organ play again. It's been a long time since I've heard that, and it was so beautiful. I'm glad that happened. The reason I'm here today is we only have one more weekend before Fall Feast, and so we have one more cleanup day. And there's a lot of little projects that we haven't got done yet, from vacuuming out the light fixtures that have flies and millers in them. I really think that needs to be done. There's quite a few cobwebs on the outside of the church that just need to be swept down. I've got a long extension pole and equipment to do that. But there are just a lot of little things that need to be shined up so we can be, proud of our building and look good to all the people that are coming to Fall Feast. Like I say, next weekend is last weekend. I'm going to post a bunch of small jobs tomorrow on the bulletin board. You don't have to come next weekend, but if you want to pick a job during the week and get it done, just sign off on it. Or if there's something that you see that isn't on my list, which is possible that will be there, get a rag and clean it up, and then put right on the list what you did. And I'd really appreciate that. So if we can have quite a few people come next Saturday and spend just even an hour, we can do this last little bit of shining up on the church and be proud of our building. So thank you very much.
Mike, did you want to come up and talk about the patch?
Well, you already said good morning, but you can do it again. Good morning. if you look in your bulletin, you'll find a sheet that says the pumpkin patch. Last week they were in the bulletin, and I don't know how many were in church last week because it was a three-day weekend, but I only got two of them back that had something on them. I want to thank Debbie Mestis for signing up, and the Huckfelds. So today I'm asking you to take this out, write your name on it, write your phone number on it. The pumpkin patch is a church function that happens in October, and it has happened for several years. This year the coordinating group, or the managing group, since it seemed like, the preschool decided not to do it. The Troop 13 and PAC 13 that are sponsored by this church, their committees said that they would take on the management of the patch. The management doesn't mean they run it all. They do all the work, they do everything. It means that they coordinate getting it done. And that's why I'm up here today. Some of you I know are not really jumping for joy to sell pumpkins, but there's other things you can do. We need a story time coordinator. Almost every preschool in Natrona County or in Casper comes to our patch for about an hour, hour and a half for some stories about pumpkins and things, and we need someone to coordinate the times that takes place, because that cannot take place while the pumpkins are being sold. So that means it's usually in the morning, from like 10 to 2 or something like that, 9 to 3. We also are looking for storytellers. Or story readers. They meet with the preschool kids and read a couple stories. The kids get to run around in the patch. I should say children, they're not necessarily kids. And at the end, they get a pumpkin. They get to pick up a small pumpkin. We're looking for someone to help do some advertising or publicity. And something that is really important, I need to put together a crew that can be activated on short notice to cover the pumpkins if it decides it wants to get cold or snow. We're looking for someone to do the daily counting of the funds that we receive. It's a daily job. I know Charles has done it in the past. Jane Wallace has done it. We're trying to make that a little bit more, less time consuming. We will know more about that after tomorrow night's board meeting. The pallet placement, that's going to take place on the 30th of September. Put it on your calendars. And I'm looking for young people, not necessarily the ones that are 60 and 70 years old, but those that are 30, 20, 40, somewhere down there. And finally, the pumpkins are due right now to arrive on October 3rd, the last that I've heard. So again, take time, fill us out, put it in the offering tray, and take part in this once a year activity that First Christian Church does. We are known as the Pumpkin Patch Church, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. I'd rather be known as a Pumpkin Patch Church than the church that has the biggest gymnasium. Thank you.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
The craft fair associated with Pumpkin Patch is October 6th.
October 6th. Okay, thank you, Carmen. I was going to talk to you and see if we were going to do that. So it's already being put together. So we probably will not have a pie contest. I know this. Dennis, I'm sorry. You know.
Thank you, Mike. Any other announcements? Well, being none, let's all stand now and greet everyone around you, and then we'll continue our worship by singing Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee, verses 1, 2, and 4. It's located on page 2 in your hymnal.
Yeah, this is a good thing.
Please join me in the call to worship with the responsive reading in your bulletin. O Lord, you have searched us and known us.
You know when we stand or sit, work or rest, pray or sing.
It was you, O God, who knit us together in our mother's wombs.
You formed us, you know us.
From the molecules of our DNA, you wove our very existence. Together in a tapestry of love. Please pray with me. Loving and gracious God, make each of us an instrument of your grace. Weave us into a community showing your power and tenderness. Bless us in our differences and give us courage to stand together. We call on you today to gather us in your love. Lead us to better know you and glorify you on each step of the journey of our lives. Hear us now as we pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
You may be seated. Our hymn of praise this morning is number 3. We'll sing the first and last verses. The sun is on the sea and shore. I'd like to invite the children to come forward for a time of sharing this morning. Good morning. How was the first week of school?
Good.
It was good?
I was at Teton Science School, so.
You were at Teton Science School. That sounds fun. That's a good way to start the year. Hi, Mackenzie. Hi. I have something for us to do this morning. I want everyone to come up here and pick one of these strings. I have some different colored ribbons and yarn. You pick the one you like and pull it out very gently from under the cross. It should slide out. Everyone gets to pick one. Get it out. And we'll let Mackenzie and her daddy pick a ribbon. Very good. Okay, now we are going to weave these together. Does everyone have a ribbon?
Yeah.
Let me have one end of your ribbons and you hold the other end. I'm just going to take one end from everybody and you hold the other end. We have some shiny red ones, a purple one, and a white one. Mackenzie, thank you so much. Now I'm going to tie these together. And it kind of represents how God ties our lives together. When we come to church, we're connected with each other. We belong to each other. Now I want everyone to hold your ribbon, and we're going to walk in a circle. So everyone walk in a circle. Keep walking. Good job. Good job. Keep walking. Yep, my arms are short, so if you're tall, you have to duck. Keep walking. You all are doing a great job. All the way around. We're almost done. Ta-da! We are going to tie a knot right here to hold our weave together. Would you hold that end for me? And we're going to tie another knot right here at the end of our ribbon. You all are doing such a great job helping. We're going to see if this works. So we started out with individual ribbons, and now we have one woven ribbon all tied together with all those pretty colors. I'm going to put this back up here by the cross so that everyone can see it, because we all belong to each other, and we belong to Jesus. Would you all hold hands with me, and we'll say a prayer together. Mackenzie, you want to hold hands? Dear Lord, we thank you for the ways in which you weave our lives together. In Jesus' name, amen. And you all can go to worship and wonder or young disciples class. We usually have to wave bye-bye to everybody as we go. Bye-bye. As our children head to Children's Church to worship and wonder today, I invite you to look on the back of the bulletin at a list of prayer concerns. As we share these with one another, I encourage you to take a prayer card from the pew rack in front of you, write a note to someone who needs to know you're praying for them today, and then place that card in the offering tray later in the service. Our card shower today is for the co-chairs of the nominating committee, Elaine Gross and Lonnie McBee. I'd encourage you to write a note of encouragement to them. And please be praying for the nominating committee and the nominating process as we seek leaders for the coming year. There are some additions to our prayer list. We want to continue to pray for Rita Peterson and her daughter, Frankie. Frankie is doing about the same. She is struggling with liver failure. This week she felt good enough to go out for a drive with her mom. They are so appreciative of your prayers just for strength and courage every day. Dewey and Jan Smith have just returned from a trip to watch a grandson graduate from basic training with the Wyoming National Guard. And they are asking for prayers for all the young people who are committed to serving their country, and also prayers for peace. Dewey said specifically prayers for peace, so that those who are trained for war will never have to go to war. Rick Black has asked us to pray for his wife, Terry. Terry's mom, Cleo Glasspool, passed away Friday evening. She had a short, strong battle with cancer and is now at peace. We give thanks for Cleo's life and pray for peace for Terry and all of their family. Mary Decker, Cal's mom, is struggling with vertigo. Prayers for her. And we continue to pray for Amber French. We are so thankful to see Amber here today with the choir, but she is still truly struggling. She has a hard time sleeping at night and is still wrestling with anxiety and depression and just doesn't feel like herself. Amber, we love you very much, and we're glad you're here. It's a little overwhelming to be around a large group of people, so after the choir sings, she's going to come and sit in the sanctuary. Please continue to pray for Amber every day. Are there others this morning that we want to name, joys or concerns? Tammy. Prayers for Jessica Steele for health. Mike. Prayers for Spencer Warren, who has cancer and will undergo chemo for 6 months. Tom.
Well, I think everyone should say happy birthday to Deborah.
Yesterday was Debbie Mestis' birthday, and she shared cupcakes with everyone who came to the Sandwich Ministry 5-year celebration. Let's sing happy birthday to Debbie.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Debbie. Happy birthday to you.
Michelle. Reese isn't here to hear us sing, but happy birthday to Reese, who had a really cool minion birthday cake made by his mom for his third birthday. Prayers for a coworker who lost a 5-month-old baby. What a hard, hard loss. Ashley Stevens. Prayers for all of the Stevens family. Thank you for sharing that with us. Charles.
Prayers for a friend, Trish, who is struggling with Lyme disease.
Prayers for Trish, who has Lyme disease.
I just want to thank everybody that who has prayed for me. I really appreciate the prayers. It's only through the power of prayer that I can get through this. So, but please pray for sleep for me.
Paul.
I want a prayer of thanksgiving to the whole First Christian Church prayer line. My wife is improving daily with Christian Church prayers.
We are so glad that she is doing well, and we will continue to pray for her and for you, Paul. Cindy Trimmer has gone home back to Arizona. She left town on Thursday, and her numbers continue to improve, and we're thankful for that. Becky. Yay! It is inspiring to have parents who have a long, happy marriage. So 67 years. What a blessing for them. Was there another hand? Let us bring all these prayers to the Lord as we share in a time of silence. loving and gracious God, before the beginning of time, you wove together light and darkness and cast the stars across the heavens. Creator God, you wove together soil and water to form mountains and prairies to make the planet that we call home. Out of your own self, you wove together the mystery of life. You called forth plants and animals, and men and women and children in your own image to call this world yours. Holy One, we thank you for the ways in which you still weave life. We pray your healing comfort to be with all those who grieve. Lord, we thank you for the life of Cleo Glasspool, Sammy DeHoff, and others whom you have called home, and we pray for comfort for their families and those who mourn. We thank you, God, for the joys of life. We celebrate with Reese his third birthday today, with Debbie her birthday yesterday, with Becky her parents' 67th anniversary. Thank you, God, for the joys of the fullness of life. Lord, we ask for your healing hand to be upon those who need it most. Continue to watch over Melanie. Bless Amber and help her to rest well at night. Be with Jessica Steele. May your blessing be upon Spencer Warren as he begins chemotherapy. Be with Trish as she struggles with Lyme disease. Be with Frankie and Rita. Lord, we give thanks for those who answer the call to serve in so many ways. We pray with gratitude, blessing upon a newly graduated class of National Guard servants. And Lord, we pray for peace in our world. God, we ask your blessing to be upon Teresa Henry as she serves in India as a missionary. And to be with the members of First Christian Church in Manzanola, Colorado. O Lord, as our daily lives unfold, you weave us together with one another in community. With new friends and old, we pray for all who are in need. Lord, this morning we pray especially for Ashley Stevens and her family at the death of a precious 5-month-old baby. Oh God, there are some losses that go deeper than human words. And so we humbly ask for your healing heart to be with those who hurt so much. Lord, we thank you for the ways in which you call us to be your healers in the world. We thank you for the ways in which you weave through us your gift of love, through a patient presence, a listening ear, a supportive friendship, through special ministries like the Sandwich Ministry, which celebrated 5 years yesterday. Oh God, you call each of us to serve in different ways. We pray that your blessing will be upon our lives as we continue to learn to live our weave, to fully live in the unique colors and textures of life that you have planted within each one of us, that together, Lord, we may serve in the name of Jesus Christ, who calls us to pray and to live faithfully. Amen.
As disciples, it's our tradition to invite all followers of Jesus Christ to join the celebration of Holy Communion. As we come to the Lord's table together as children of one God, Jesus makes the guest list, not us. Our family is chosen by God. It's gathered from the West and the East and includes everyone, even the lowest and the least. When he was resurrected, he revealed himself to his disciples in the breaking of bread around a table. May we see the face of God today as we come to the Lord's table. Let's sing hymn number 381, Take My Gifts, as we prepare for communion.
As we come to the table today, we are reminded that it's Jesus who makes the invitation list. The lost and the least are welcome here. Stranger and friend alike are invited to dine with the Lord. Today, in Jesus' name, we invite you to share the Lord's Supper. Whether you're a member here or visiting for the first time, all who are looking for God's love in the presence of Christ are welcome to share in the Lord's Supper. As we come to the table, we remember the night when Jesus met with his friends. While they were in the upper room, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them and to us, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood poured out for you to forgive your sin and the sins of many. Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes. These are the gifts of God for the people of God." Let us pray.
Most gracious God, as we come before this table of remembrance, as your family in this place, our hearts are filled with gratitude that you are a God of love, of unconditional love, and that you love the world, our world, so very much that you gave your only begotten Son, Jesus, to be with us, to teach us to love and care for our neighbors as well as ourselves, as you have and daily do love and care for us and our needs. It is at this table that we are sadly reminded that Jesus was crucified for us and our sins. As we take this cup and this bread to our lips in the act of communion with you, may we once again deeply appreciate and give thanks for the great loving sacrifice that our Lord Jesus made for each of us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
The diaconate and will now accept your tithes and offerings. Please give of your gift of your gifts, whether they be monetary, service, or fill out the prayer cards in your pew and drop that in the offering plate, as well as your volunteer stuff for the pumpkin patch. I think we're ready for the diaconate to receive your tithes and offerings. We give thanks, Lord, for all the blessings of life. Receive now these tithes and offerings as a sign of the gratitude in our hearts. Amen.
I'm so sorry. I'm playing the wrong line. Okay.
We're meant to touch too sweet.
As Belle is coming forward, I would invite you to turn in the back of the Chalice Hymnal to page 765. We will be reading responsively Psalm 139. There is a sung refrain. Donna will play that through once, and then we will sing it, and we'll sing again every time there's a bold R. Psalm 139.
Sorry, what page was that?
765. Belle was ready to read out of the Bible instead of out of the hymnal. That's okay. Give us a chance to practice the refrain. Donna, would you give us a chord and we'll sing it one more time?
O God, you have searched me and known me.
You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away.
You search out my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways.
Even before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely.
You hem me in, behind and before. You lay your hand upon me.
Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it.
Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence?
If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there.
If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea,
even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast.
If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light around me become night.
Even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you.
Search me, O God, and know my heart. Thank you.
Our reading from Psalm 139 continues with verses 13 through 18. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. That I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God, how vast is the sum of them. I try to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to the end. I am still with you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you, choir, for that wonderful message in music that ties in with our fall theme. It is good to have you all back from your summer break, and we are so thankful to have Amber able to be with us, though she is still struggling, so please do continue to pray for Amber. Ethan, welcome. He had to sneak out. He will be here just for choir on Sunday mornings, but we are blessed to have three gifted musicians between Donna and Arlen and Ethan sharing with us to keep us afloat in music this fall. Will you please pray with me? Holy God, we thank you for the gift of your word. We pray that we will be blessed with understanding. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts, O God, draw us closer to you and be acceptable in your sight. Amen. It was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Psalm 139 is such a beautiful poetic expression of God's glory and vastness. The psalmist speaks of how there's no place we can go where God doesn't know us. You hem me in behind and before. You know when I stand or when I sit. My innermost thoughts are not hidden from the Lord. Verse 13 is key for us to hear. It was you, O God, who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. The King James Version adds, that I know full well, that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. In the Hebrew, there are some interesting words here for us that are translated variously as knit together or woven. A friend of mine who knows Hebrew much better than I said the word actually, though it's often translated knit, is actually closer to crochet. That's a nuance that the yarn artists among us might appreciate. I can't do either one very well. But I know my mother was a knitter, and she used two knitting needles. And when you crochet, you have one crochet hook, and the yarn loops over and through itself again and again. Perhaps there's a huge, significant theological difference between knit and crochet. I don't know. But the point seems to be that God paid attention to the tiniest details. If you think about it, if you're an architect, you're going to build a big building. You think on a grand scale. If you're a knitter, you pay attention to the tiniest details. In this psalm, we see God as a knitter woman or a weaver sitting at a loom. Maybe an old granny with a crochet hook or a young person paying attention to something that calls for intimate, intricate detail. God paid close attention when you were conceived. God knew what you looked like when you were still in your mother's womb. It's amazing to me that these words were written long before there was any modern technology to do CAT scans or MRIs or ultrasounds or take pictures of babies inside of a mother's womb. Now, we know what a baby looks like inside of a womb. In fact, you can have a photo album of your unborn child if you want. God knows what we look like even before we are born. God knits us together so intentionally with such purpose that God even knows the path we're going to take in life, at least the pathways that will be offered to us. And whether or not we choose to follow the Lord or step off the path, the choice is ours, but God is there every step of the way, behind and before, watching every step we take. I had a friend in seminary who used to say this is the Santa Claus psalm. Let me explain. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You know if I've been naughty or nice. I posit to you that God is even greater than Santa Claus. At Christmas time, we might teach our children that Santa's watching. It's a good way to help them behave at a very excited time of the year. It encourages them to think about their actions and their behavior. God watches over us always and loves us always and knows us always. It is amazing to me that this psalm was written with such detail. In ancient times, when the concept of the world itself is different than what we know now. Not only was there not an ultra scan of a mother's womb when a baby was being born, there also was not even a full understanding that the world is round, the planet Earth that we call home is a globe. In ancient times, the worldview was that Earth was flat, a level plain, and there was a dome over it that was arched. Above that arch was the heavens. And when the sky opened, it rained. Water fell down from heaven onto earth. Below the earth was a place called Sheol, the grave, the place you go when you die. The psalmist says to us, "Where can I go from your spirit, Lord? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, if I go further up than anyone has ever gone, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, if I go further down than anyone has ever gone, you are there. If I am alive or if I am dead," the psalmist says to God, "you are there. You are with me always. And I am wonderfully and fearfully made." I invite you to think of this psalm in one more way in our modern context that has another layer of understanding that the original author could not have grasped. The psalmist says that God knit us or crocheted us together in our mother's womb. I invite you for just a minute to think about your high school biology class when you learned about DNA. Think about the way in which human molecules are composed. Individual genes paired together and spun in a double helix. That looks to me rather like a strand of crocheted yarn hooked together. "I'm fearfully, wonderfully made," the psalmist says. A modern translation might be, "You crocheted my DNA in my mother's womb." What a beautiful gift it is for us to know that God has made each one of us to be unique. Not just your DNA, your genetic material, but also your life experiences make you who you are. Some of you have had an easy path and some a challenging one. Most of us have had ups and downs, some hard lessons to learn, but through it all, God is there with us. This week, I invite you to reflect on your life as a ribbon or a thread on God's loom. You see, God is still weaving, and in the church, God weaves us together. God blesses each of us, as the song was saying, to have unique colors and textures. But then in the church, God weaves us together in a tapestry of love. God blesses each of us to be like a musical instrument that tunes to our own key, maybe even marches to the beat of our own drum. We have our own unique personalities and gifts and strengths and weaknesses. But then in the church, God calls us all together to play one symphony of praise and service for the Lord. This week, I invite you to think about your life, your individual strand of being, your weave, if you will. Who are you? Who has God made you to be? What gifts has the Lord given you that you can live out and share for Him? Over the next few Sundays, you'll hear this theme of live your weave explored in different ways as our nominating committee invites us to reflect on how we are called to live the weave of our lives. Our nominating committee chair, Lonnie McBee, was taken by the phrase, "live your weave," which is written by a woman named Kathy Isert. Kathy knew that God had made her for some unique purpose, but she says she hadn't figured out what that was until the middle of her life. She was working as a graphic artist. She was a mom for four children. When she was growing up, her dad used to say, "You can do anything." Kathy said she knows he meant it to be encouraging, but it also sometimes felt overwhelming. Her family had instilled in her a sense that anything we do should be done with purpose to serve the Lord. Her sister had accepted a call to ministry. So Kathy says it's very clear in her sister's life how she was called to live her life, to weave her life for God. But she said, "I didn't know what my calling was." She had a passion for service, and when she was in her 40s, she began volunteering at a soup kitchen, a homeless mission. She would go and help serve a meal to the homeless. It was while doing that that she met a man who had been homeless himself and had come out of homelessness. He said to Kathy, "It's great that you want to feed people, but that's not really solving the problem. Let's build beds. Let's find a way to get some housing for folks." Well, she was really pretty daunted. She said, "That was beyond my skill set. I was a graphic designer. I was a mom. I was happy just volunteering and serving the hungry. It made me feel good." But she says the more that she thought about it, she realized that there was a greater calling here. There's a movie based on this gentleman's life called Same Kind of Different as Me. He wrote a book. And his life story of coming out of homelessness inspired Kathy to step out of her own comfort zone. In fact, she quit her job as a graphic designer and helped found an organization that provided housing for the homeless. Over a 4 to 10 year span of time, they were able to provide housing for 500 people. Now, not everyone can answer God's call in such a great, grand way. This week, we're celebrating the 5 year anniversary of the sandwich ministry. Many of you have participated in that simple act of spreading peanut butter and jelly on a couple slices of bread and handing it to someone who's hungry. In a way, that's our own effort, similar to Kathy's life, to care for those who are in need. 5 years ago, Debbie Mestis was inspired to start the sandwich ministry, but she knew she couldn't do it by herself. And so she stood up at church and said, "I want to feed the hungry. I'm just going to make PB&J sandwiches." And a half dozen folks here said, "We'll help." Over that 5 year span of time, we've grown from the CWF and volunteer members of our one congregation making sandwiches to partners from multiple churches, partnering with the Wyoming Food Bank of the Rockies and healthcare for the homeless. We started making 50 sandwiches a week and then bumped it up to 75, and now we do 120. We serve sandwiches until the people stop coming, or until we run out. If you do the math over a 5 year span of time, accounting for the difference in sandwiches, we've probably served about 30,000 sack lunches in Natrona County. Now, 5 years ago, someone had said to Debbie, "God is calling you to make 30,000 sandwiches." There would have been no way she could have answered that call. But God just put a call in her heart. It was like God reached inside and tugged on the string that is the weave of Debbie's life and said, "I need you to inspire others." Not all of us are Debbie Mestis. And it's a good thing. Because if everyone here spent every day making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, the light bulbs would never get changed and the lawn wouldn't get mowed. Somebody in a hospital wouldn't get visited. Communion wouldn't get fixed because we'd all be so focused on doing Debbie's job. Instead of figuring out what our job is, our calling, our weave, the story of our life. There's a local man in Casper, and I apologize, I looked up his name, I don't know him personally, and I've forgotten his name. But he's been a recipient of the Jefferson Award. The weave of his life is an intersection between knowing how to fix cars and having a passion for young men who have no male role models in their life. You might be familiar with the ministry. Several years ago, he started a program called Pop in the Shop. It's a chance for young men who are missing dads or have not had a positive male role model in their life to connect with someone in our community who provides care. Maybe you're good at fixing cars, or maybe you're a kind, gentle, intelligent, mature adult man who cares about young boys in healthy ways, and you're willing to turn a wrench for the chance to talk to them about what really matters in life, how to grow up and be a man who cares and lives with honesty and integrity. Maybe the weave of your life is going to overlap with Pop in the Shop. Maybe the weave of your life hasn't been discovered yet. Maybe you have a gift that you have hidden deep inside, and you're afraid to let anyone know you've got that talent. Anything we do, that we do in love, can be done for the Lord. Al Singleton, one of our members, is an amateur photographer. He loves taking pictures. He has generously, again, gifted one of his photographs to raise money for the Week of Compassion. It's something that gives him joy and is a blessing to others. In the coming weeks, we'll be talking together about how to live our weave. I invite you this week specifically to be thinking about what is it in your life that gives you joy? And how can you use that gift of joy to serve the Lord, to help others, either in our congregation or in our community, in the world at large? What is God calling you to do? How is the Lord reaching into your heart and tugging on your heartstrings just a little? Tuning that weave of your life, that cord that runs through the center of your soul that identifies who you are and whose you are. For each of us belongs to the Lord, who knit us together in our mother's wombs, who knows that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And this week, may you reflect on how you are called to live the weave of your life and answer God's call. Amen. Our hymn of dedication today is number 658, Restless Weaver. We will be singing together verses 1, 2, and 4. And as we do, I extend the invitation to anyone here who is looking for a church home or who is moved to live your weave as a part of the church family that is First Christian to come forward. Perhaps it's been a while since you publicly claimed your faith in God and acknowledged Jesus as your Lord and Savior. God is moving you to make that declaration of faith. We invite you to come forward today as we stand and sing 658.
Thank you.
I'd invite you to be seated for just a moment. Coming forward this morning are Joan and Bob McNamara. Many of you have met them as they've been worshiping with us for a while. Bob is in kind of a unique position in life. He is retired as the pastor of our Savior Lutheran Church. It's an ELCA congregation here in Casper. And like with the disciples, one thing that happens with Lutheran pastors is after you have served a congregation for a period of time, they hopefully, gently, and kindly invite you on your retirement to try to learn to be retired. Sometimes it feels like they're boosting you out the door. And then they say, we love you, but go away for a year or more. It's a hard thing to do. We have been blessed that in this interim time, Bob has worshiped with us when he's not busy being an Episcopal priest preaching in an Episcopal congregation or volunteering with the chaplains, the police victim service program. So you don't get to see Bob as much as you get to see Joan. Now, Bob needs to maintain his membership at Our Savior Lutheran to maintain his standing as a Lutheran pastor. So I'm really sorry we're not getting to claim you as a member today. But we still claim you as a brother in Christ, and we are honored to have you worship with us anytime you can. Joni is coming forward to join First Christian as an associate member. So, you know, when you're a Lutheran for a long time, you still want to be a Lutheran, especially if you're married to somebody like Bob. And I told her that's okay. You can be a Lutheran and a Christian too. So Joni is coming forward this morning to join First Christian Church as an associate member, and we are so honored to have you here. And I appreciate Bob coming up to be supportive of you in this decision. And I want to extend to you the right hand of Christian fellowship and ask the question of faith that has been asked since the first followers of Christ wandered around this planet. Joni, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you proclaim him as your Lord and Savior?
I do.
May God bless you on that declaration of faith. And I would invite you all to pray with Bob and Joan and myself this morning. Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the journey of faith, for the ways in which you lead us to live our weave. Lord, we thank you that Joan has found a church home here at First Christian, and we cherish her. We pray your continued blessing upon Bob's ministry as he lives it out in so many ways. May your calling in his life be clear. O Lord, continue to knit us together as a church family, where our faith is not about one congregation, but about being part of your universal church. Lord, for we all belong to each other in your grace, O Christ. Bless us now as we go forth to love and to serve in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. There is a potluck luncheon today because it's kickoff Sunday. It's not just in your honor, Joan. There are hot dogs and brats downstairs. I'm going to invite the McNamaras to come to the back door with me to greet you all as you head down. If you didn't bring something for the potluck, my guess is there's going to be plenty to share. So please stay around for lunch if you have time today. Let us serve the Lord with joy.